Welcoming all of you to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Kalashuddha Mataji. Mataji is going to enlighten us on the topic of the Nectarian Melissa of Sri Ramastikam, Session 3. Hare Krishna Mataji, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavapranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srila Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, Algoris to Srila Prabhupada, Algoris to Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening on the topic of Namastakam. I'll hand out the call to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Dhirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutane Shrimate Radhanamukha Swami Nithinamune Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutane Srimate Vijayapatamukha Swami Nithinamune Nama Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayini Gaurakatha Dhamadaya Nagaragramatharine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nithinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadharine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasavi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Svakam Kuroti Vachalam, Pangur Langari Tegirin, Yat Kripata Maham Pande Shri Gurum Vinatarinam, Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Swaram. Hare Krishna. I thank all of you for being here and the organizers for this very wonderful opportunity for engaging me in some service. So we will continue with the Nectarian Mellows of Sri Namashtakam, verse 3 onwards. Sri Namashtakam by Sri Yatabha Swami Tad, verse 3.
Yadā bhāso api yadhyai kāvalita bhava dvanta vibhavo drisham tatvādhādām api dishati bhakti pranāyini Janastasyo datam jagati Bhagavan namata orane Kriti te nirvatum ka Iha mahima onam prabhavati.
Translation. O Son of the Holy Name, even the dim light of your early dawn, Namabhas, devours the power of the darkness of the material world and gives those who are blind to the truth the insight to follow the path of pure devotion to Krishna. What learned person in this world can possibly fully describe your transcendental glory? This third verse of Sri Namashtakam, Srila Rupa Goswami Pad is actually giving us an insight of what would be the effect of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Srila Prabhupada, he very, very clearly describes that there are three stages to chanting the holy name, technically called as Nam, Namabhas, and Shuddhanam. So Nam, when we chant the holy name in the initial stages, it is bound to be with offenses because we are in a contaminated state, and the contamination is not just of this lifetime but also of our prarabdhas, of our previous accumulated, you know, karmas. So the chanting in the initial stages of our Krishna consciousness is bound to be filled with offenses. So that is why it is called the stage of offensive chanting. But even in the stage of offensive chanting, it's not that Srila Prabhupada always says that, just like he always gave this very beautiful example to explain the three stages of the chanting. I'll give the analogy in a second. Just let me explain the three stages first. So the Nam is with offensive while we are still committing offenses. We are committing offenses to the holy name. The 10 offenses that we just recited, we are full of those offenses. Then we are chanting, we are committing offenses to the Dham, we are committing offenses to the Seva, to the services. There's so many kinds of offenses that we are committing. So in the initial stages, we are committing quite a big number of offenses. But Srila Prabhupada always says that we should never lose hope, that the process of chanting itself will make us get purified so that we can move to the next stage, which is Namabhas. Namabhas. Abhas means to get an inkling, to get a vision, to get a sight, you know, to get a signal, something like that, is what Abhas means. So Namabhas, which means that we are still dealing and, you know, tactfully handling the offenses, but still we are not at the level of spontaneous chanting. We are not at the level of pure chanting. The offenses may be counteracted, and we are still working. We are still working on our offenses and counteracting the offenses. That is called the Namabhas stage. It is the stage greater than, you know, offensive chanting, and it is a stage less than Shuddhanam. The third stage, which is called the Shuddhanam, Srila Prabhupada describes, is that which is completely free of all offenses, and it is pure chanting of the holy name, incessantly, you know, chanting the holy name. So these three offenses, the very beautiful analogy that Srila Prabhupada gave is that on a cloudy day, when we cannot see the sun is covered with clouds. It doesn't mean that the sun is not there. It's just that we cannot see the sun because we are on earth, which is below the clouds, and the clouds are getting the sun covered up. The sun is above the clouds. So our offenses are like that cloud which do not allow us to see the most bright, effulgent form of the holy name, to be able to realize that the holy name is a personality, to be able to relish and bask in the sunlight of the holy name. We are not getting access to that because of the cloud of offenses that are covering the sun-like holy name. And then when, you know, right after when the rain comes and then the clouds are getting dissipated, the sun is just coming out little by little, but getting covered again, getting, you know, little by little we see the sun. That is the stage of Namabhas, when it is like the clearing stage of the clouds. So that stage is the second stage of chanting. And then comes Shuddhanam, which when we are able to rise above the ground, and when we are flying over the clouds, that time, you know, when we are in an airplane, we can really experience this stage. That when we are on the airplane, we are actually flying above the clouds. So there's no question of the clouds hiding the sun. We can see the sun directly. So that time, we are not getting the hindrance of the clouds covering the sun. That is Shuddhanam. So in the beginning, in the initial stages of our japa, it is sometimes really, really tough to be able to control our mind and carefully following the 10 offenses. You know, the 10 offenses we recite every day, but how much are we deeply trying to apply the 10 offenses in our life? How much are we really trying to, you know, live by those 10 offenses? We've given the instructions of our spiritual master, you know, considering the names of the demigods, the first offense, which is committing offenses to Vaishnavas, talking ill about Vaishnavas. That is the first offense to the holy name, very serious one. And that is the root cause of all the other offenses. So how much are we really trying? And the level to how much we are really trying to consciously avoid chanting with offenses, or trying to, you know, counteract the offenses, trying to avoid offenses in our lives, that much Krishna will reciprocate with us. Ye yathamam prapadyante, tam sathaiva bhajamyaham. That how much we want to surrender to Krishna, how much we desire to, you know, chant offenselessly, that much Krishna will respond. That much Krishna will reciprocate. There is no doubt about that. There are some devotees I personally know who are so serious from the day one of their Krishna consciousness that they take up the chanting so seriously, that, and they are literally trying to follow very, very strictly, very stringently the 10 offenses. And we can see how quickly they are making advancement also. We can witness that. And they are coming very quickly to the stage of Namabhas, where it is the clearing stage of all the offenses, where the sun is getting visible to our eyes. And we are experiencing some kind of emotional ecstasy when we are chanting the holy name. When we are in the Nam stage, in the initial stage, we have to force ourselves to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We have to force ourselves to just complete our chanting of the holy name. Our, you know, prescribed number of chanting, oh, I finished 10 rounds, I've got 6 more to go. When we are in that kind of stage, that is definitely the initial stage of our chanting. But when we start thinking, oh no, I've done 14 rounds, I've got only 2 more rounds to finish my prescribed number of rounds, and then I can keep chanting extra, but my prescribed number of rounds is getting over. That is, at least we're trying to develop and be in the Namabhas stage. And Shuddhanam is, like it said that one of our acharyas, when he would answer nature's calls, he would actually have to hold his tongue, because his tongue would incessantly chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And because he realized that Krishna, whenever he would chant Hare Krishna, like Krishna would literally dance on his tongue. He would say, when I am doing my nasty business of answering nature's call, how can I allow Krishna to dance on my tongue? So he would hold his tongue so that he could consciously stop himself from chanting the holy name while he is answering nature's call. That is Shuddhanam stage, where we are so spontaneously chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without stopping, without cessation. That is the stage that we need to aspire to. That is called sadhana bhakti, vaidhi sadhana bhakti. That we are doing regulated sadhana bhakti right now, so that one day or the other, we will be able to relish Shuddhanam. We will be able to develop raganuga bhakti, spontaneous devotional service to the holy names. And by doing this, we can actually realize what is said in this third verse by Srila Rupa Goswami Pad. How Rupa Goswami Pad is actually comparing the holy name to the sun, to the most bright effulgent sun. He's saying that, O sun of the holy name, it's not S-O-N, but it's S-U-N, Surya. So, O Son of the Holy Name, even the dim light of your early dawn. So when, you know, when the sun is rising, or when the sun is just getting a little bit covered by the clouds, when it is almost, you know, not so brightly shining, Srila Rupa Goswami is saying that even the dim light of your early dawn, Namabhas, devours the power of the darkness of the material world and gives those who are blind to the truth the insight to follow the path of pure devotion to Krishna. So how the holy name can really provide the path? When we chant every day our pranam mantra to the spiritual master, Om Ajnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet. So when we say this prayer, that we are accepting that we are literally born in the darkest of ignorance, and the spiritual master with the torch of light, that torch of light that the spiritual master is opening our eyes with, is what? What is that torch of light? It is the torch of light of the holy name of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra that the spiritual master is actually trying to open our eyes with. So what learned person in this world can possibly fully describe your transcendental glory? You know, it's not really possible. You know, like last week how we were discussing that even Ananta Shesh, with his unlimited mouth, unlimited head, you know, he is continuing to glorify Krishna, his, you know, Naam, Roop, Guna, Leela, his name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes. But Ananta Shesh is not able to complete all of that. Why? Because Krishna's pastimes is just like that waves of the ocean. If one finishes, the other one quickly follows. Srila Prabhupada very beautifully writes in this book called The Sword of Knowledge. In his book, Srila Prabhupada writes, in regards to material problems, he writes that material problems, you know, problems in this material world can never be solved. And they are like the waves of the ocean, that as soon as one wave dies down, the other one quickly follows. So the same is with Krishna's pastime as well. That Krishna, he, you know, we know that when Krishna performed, he came in Dwapara Yuga, he did all these beautiful, amazing pastimes. We think that that's it? No. Krishna is performing pastime even today in some planet or the other. That is the magnanimity of Krishna. That is the glory of Krishna. That how he is performing pastimes after pastimes after pastimes. So there is, you know, as soon as we finish, we think that we have finished reciting some of the glories and the pastimes of Krishna, Krishna goes ahead and performs some more. So we are always playing catch up with Krishna. We can never say, okay, Krishna, now we've caught you, and that's it, and this is the end to your glories, and okay, now Ananta Shesh is out of job. No, that can never happen. Because Krishna's pastimes are eternal. They are ever new, ever fresh. And Krishna is always eternally performing these pastimes. There will be some variety or the other. Just like how it is said that Srimati Radharani, she never cooks the same item twice for Krishna. There is always some kind of variety. How? Well, that is the, you know, how we have a very famous saying in the material world, variety is the spice of life. Well, trust me, variety is the spice of life. That's the basis of the spiritual world. But Srimati Radharani, she never repeats anything for Krishna, whatever she cooks. There is some kind of a twist always there. So Krishna also, he may be performing the same kind of pastime, but there will be always a twist. Even Lord Nrsingadev, it is said that once Lord Nrsingadev, he created some kind of a foam Sudarshan. He created Sudarshan Chakra with a foam, and he killed Hiranyakashipu with that. You know, not all the time Lord Nrsingadev uses his nails. That is also there in one of the Puranas. So like this, there are so many varieties of pastimes which we, in our, you know, limited intelligence, we can never fathom the unlimited leelas and the pastimes and the qualities and the glories of Krishna. It's impossible to do that. But all we can try to do is just try to see whatever our acharyas have revealed to all of us. We try to at least, you know, suck all of that in. We try to just, you know, dive into that nectar, and that should be sufficient for us to go back home, back to Godhead, as Srila Prabhupada has assured us. That is our only hope. Otherwise, you know, imagine that if Ananta Shesh is not able to complete the glories of Krishna, where are we? What are we? Who are we? Nothing. We're nothing. So, similarly, we should therefore never lose hope. One other thing that I wanted to say in this particular connection, when we are talking about the three stages of chanting, that we should not feel discouraged. You know, Srila Jayasataka Maharaj, he always says, you know, he does quite a few workshops on the holy name. And in one of the workshops, I remember very clearly, he mentioned to us very, very, you know, gave us lots of hope that, you know, there is someday, you know, we can achieve perfection, but till then, we have hope. So what he said is, and I'll try to repeat it as it is. So what he said is that, yes, in the initial stages, we do chant with the senses. And then we are aspiring to the Namabhas stage. And then we are aspiring to the Shuddhanam stage as well, while we are in the first stage of chanting, while we are chanting with so much of offenses. But Krishna is so merciful. You know, he told us one story. He said that one time there was actually a debate that is the Lord more merciful or is the holy name of the Lord more merciful? So to prove this, sage Narada Muni, the transcendental spaceman, he actually thought of one very, very wonderful personality who would help him to prove to the sages that who is more powerful? Is it Krishna or Krishna's name? So Narada Muni, he approached Hanuman. When he approached Hanuman, he said, "Look, Hanuman, I need your help." And Hanuman said, "Yes, yes, Narada Muni, tell me, how can I help you?" And then Narada Muni said that, "Look, there's a big debate going on. You don't need to know the details of the debate, but I want you to do something." Narada Muni, you know, coming to Hanuman, Hanuman was super excited, and Hanuman said, "Just tell me what you need me to do, and I'll do that." So Narada Muni told Hanuman that, "I want you to go and create some kind of mischief and make the guru of Lord Ramachandra, Vishwamitra, make him angry. Go and do that." And Hanuman, look at the position of Hanuman, he did not question Narada. "Oh, you're asking me to go and do Vaishnava Parad, you're asking me to do this, you're asking me to do that." Now, you know, Hanuman had complete faith in the words of Narada Muni, and he said, "All right, I'll take care of it. I'll go and, you know, enrage Vishwamitra." So Hanuman, you know, came to Vishwamitra. He did some, you know, antiques, some tactics, and then with his mischief, he angered Vishwamitra. And Vishwamitra got so angry that he came to Lord Ramachandra. Now, this was after the exile, and after Lord Ramachandra came back to Ayodhya. This is a story from that particular time. So Vishwamitra, he came to Lord Ramachandra and he said, like, "Look, your devoted Hanuman, he is coming and doing all this mischief. I want you to punish him." So Lord Ram's heart literally broke. He said, "My dear devotee Hanuman, how can he come and, you know, enrage you, my Guru Maharaj? How can he do that?" Then Vishwamitra said, no, he did it. You better go and punish him. And I want you to punish him tomorrow morning. First thing in the morning, tomorrow I want you to punish him." So Lord Ramachandra, he was so obedient. You know, he is Maryada Purushottam. So although he is, you know, so dear, he knows that Hanuman can never do something like that, but because Lord Ramachandra, he is Niyam Parayan, he is the follower of rules and regulations. That was the purpose of his incarnation. So Lord Ramachandra, although he knew that Hanuman can't do anything wrong, but still he had to abide by the words of his guru. He said, okay, as an obedient disciple, he said, okay, with a heavy heart, Lord Ram said, okay, I will punish Hanuman. So the next day, Hanuman was summoned into the court, and then Lord Ramachandra, he started, you know, on the order of his Guru Maharaj, he actually started taking, he aimed arrow at Hanuman. And Narad Muni came to Hanuman and said that all I want you to do when you're standing in front of Lord Ram is just chant the holy names of Ram. Hanuman said, okay, I will do that. So when Lord Ram, he just, you know, pulled his arrow, he let his arrow go, and Hanuman was standing in there, and he was standing in front of Lord Ram, and he closed his eyes, and he was saying, Jai Shri Ram, Jai Shri Ram, Jai Shri Ram. He was constantly chanting the holy names of Lord Ramachandra. The arrow swooshed towards Hanuman, and it fell down at the lotus feet of Hanuman. The arrow did not touch the body of Hanuman. Then Vishwamitra looked at Ramachandra again and said, do another arrow, throw another arrow at Hanuman. So then Lord Ramachandra again threw another arrow at Hanuman. And then, you know, that arrow again, same thing, it went in another direction. It did not touch Hanuman. And Hanuman was constantly chanting the holy names. And then the third time this happened. And then after that, when the third time also the arrow went in another direction, then Vishwamitra, then he realized that, oh, this is something very special. And then Vishwamitra, he said, okay, no, don't do this anymore. We realize what Hanuman's position is and what the position of your holy name is. That your name is more greater than you yourself. That because Hanuman was chanting the name of Lord Ram, that is why even the arrow shooting from Lord Ram himself could not touch the body of Hanuman. And at that time, Narad Muni, he declared to the entire world that the holy name is more merciful, is more powerful than the Lord himself. Another proof of this is, you know, when Lord Ramachandra was building the bridge to Lanka, each of the stones was engraved with the holy name of Ram. And we know that, of course, you know, Nal and Neel, they had got the benediction that whatever they will throw, that will not sink. So they were throwing the stones and it was not sinking. But it was not sinking mainly also because it had the name of Lord Ram. And to prove this, Lord Ram himself, what he did is, he just took a stone and he threw that into the ocean. And that stone sunk. Because although Lord Ram threw it, but it did not have the name of Lord Ram. So just to prove to the world that how much more merciful the holy name is than the personality of Godhead, these pastimes are displayed. This is not, of course, to minimize the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but just to show to us the position of the holy name. We should never think of it in a mundane way, that when we are glorifying the holy name and that when we are saying that the holy name is more merciful than the Lord himself, it does not minimize the position of the Lord. Just like how we say that Srimati Radharani is more merciful than Krishna, how we say that Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu is more merciful than Krishna, how we say that Nityananda Prabhu is more merciful than Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Krishna. By saying this, we are never ever minimizing the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, we are actually establishing the position of the glories of that particular personality, particular holy name, like that. So we should not think of it in a mundane sense. In mundane sense, when we glorify another person, it automatically means that we minimize another person, the other. That's material calculation. But in spiritual calculation, everything is absolute. By glorifying another personality, more, it does never, never, ever minimize the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, Krishna is more pleased when his dear devotees are glorified. Krishna himself glorifies his devotees. That is the glory of the holy name. That is the glory of the devotee of Krishna. So we'll move to the text 4 of Sri Namashtakam.
Yad brahma sakshat kriti nishthayati vinashamayati vinana bhogai apaiti nama puranena tatte prarabdha karmeti virauti veda.
Translation. O holy name, the Vedas declare that although meditation on impersonal Brahman cannot bring freedom from past karma, your appearance on the tongue of your chanter at once make all karma disappear.
What a statement by Srila Rupa Goswami. So powerful.
Let's read it again. O holy name, the Vedas declare that although meditation on impersonal Brahman cannot bring freedom from past karma, your appearance on the tongue of your chanter at once makes all karma disappear.
How much is the glory of the holy name that even something that impersonal Brahman cannot give, chanting of the holy name of Krishna will give that in one time. That is the glory of the chanting of the holy name. And it is up to us how, with what intensity we are chanting for this effect to come about us. Maharaj Khatvanga, it is explained that, we all know that yes, we have to surrender to Krishna. And it takes us lifetimes over lifetimes to surrender to Krishna. It's not easy. We all know that it is not easy for us to surrender to Krishna. But Khatvanga Maharaj, it is said that when he found out that he had just one moment to live, he immediately just disconnected himself from material life and he surrendered to Krishna. He just focused everything, his mind, intelligence, his body, his words, his thoughts, everything at the lotus feet of Krishna. In one moment, he surrendered to Krishna, making his life perfect. We have that kind of an example too. But we know that all of us are not, definitely I am not Khatvanga Maharaj. So we do need to practice. We need to practice so that one day we can achieve perfection. And how can we achieve that perfection? By following this process. By realizing that just like when we are chanting Hare Krishna, when we say Krishna, Krishna is actually dancing on our tongue. And when we are chanting in that mood that Krishna is actually literally dancing on our tongue, then one day we will come to that realization when we will know and we will understand and we will realize that Krishna indeed is dancing on our tongue. And that way, that is the way that we can actually get freed from the karma of our millions and millions and millions of lifetimes accumulated. Not just karma from this life. Just like how we heard the story last week, that how the thread of the holy name can crush down mountains and mountains of sinful reactions. That is the glory of the holy name. But that is just a side effect of the holy name. That is not the only effect that it helps us destroy all the prarabdha karma. But that is just a side effect, Srila Prabhupada explains. What is the main effect of chanting the holy name? Is Krishna praying, is that we can realize that Krishna is actually dancing on our tongue. Just like how the gopis, when they are, missing Krishna, and when they are, chanting the Gopi Gita, when they are singing the Gopi Gita in
pure separation from Krishna because Krishna disappeared from their eyes. How the gopis are actually remembering Krishna, remembering all of his beautiful pastimes, and by that they are begging Krishna that please reappear in front of us. Please appear in front of our eyes. Allow us to see you, see your beautiful form. We know that you have just disappeared from our vision. We allow, you know, please allow us to see you again. This is the prayer of the gopis. This is the cry of the gopis. You know, Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj, he always says, this is not just Gopi Gita. Yeh sirf gopiyon ka geet nahi hai, yeh gopiyon ka krandan hai. That this is the cry, the loving cry of the gopis. And in text 7, the gopis, very beautifully, they are actually describing, the translation of text 7 is, that your lotus feet destroy the past sin of all embodied souls who surrender to them. Those feet follow after the cows in the pastures and are the eternal abode of the goddess of fortune. Since you once put those feet on the hoofs of the great serpent Kaliya, please place them upon our breasts and tear away the lust in our hearts. So how the gopis are saying so beautifully that the glories of the lotus feet of Krishna are so magnanimous. That how Krishna, when he danced on the hoofs of Kaliya, Krishna destroyed all the negativity from Kaliya. He just kicked out all the negativity from Kaliya. All the poison that was filled in Kaliya was kicked out by the stomping and the dancing of Krishna on Kaliya's hoods. So we, all of us, are our own Kaliyas in some way or the other. We are all Kaliya. At least I am. And we are filled with so much negativity, so much negativity. Our only hope is that when Krishna, when we are chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, our only hope is that if we can realize that Krishna is dancing on our tongue and he is stomping away, he is kicking away all the negativity, all the poisonous, you know, poison that is there in our heart. He's just kicking all that away. So whenever we chant, I personally recite this particular verse before I start chanting the holy name to be one day able to realize that Krishna indeed should appear. And I mean, Krishna is appearing. There's no doubt that Krishna is not appearing. But for me to realize that Krishna is dancing on my tongue. So I humbly pray to the gopis, to Srimati Radharani and to Krishna that allow us to realize them by chanting this beautiful seventh verse of the Gopi Gita. Ranata Dehina Sapakarshanam Vinacharadugam Shriniketanam Hanikanarketam Tepadam Gocham Trinukucheshunam So when we chant in this mood that Krishna, allow me to realize that you are dancing on my tongue when I'm chanting your holy name. And when we beg Krishna in this way, the holy name, you know, Harinam Prabhu, will allow us to have this realization. And what I was mentioning in the middle of the class about, you know, not losing hope, what Srila Jayapataka Maharaj had told us. He said that although when we are in the initial stages of offensive chanting, even when we are in the Namabhas stage of, you know, the clearing of offensive chanting, in these two stages also we should never lose hope. There is hope. Because once we reach the Shuddhanam stage, he gave us this analogy which was very often given by Srila Prabhupada. He said that there was once a person who did not know how gold looks, you know, how the commodity gold looks like. So he was told by a person that, okay, you go up the stairs and you open the door on your right-hand side. When you open the door, there will be something very shiny, glittery, and, you know, golden in color. That is gold. So then this person went up the stairs, he opened the door, and he saw the shiny, glittery thing, and said, oh, this is gold. He had that realization. Oh, now I know what is gold. But then when he looked back, he saw that the door was made of gold. The stairs were also made of gold. So, Jagataka Maharaj very beautifully explains that the process of chanting the holy name and the ultimate goal of chanting the holy name is actually the same. So while we are in the process of chanting the holy name, we should realize that we are in the process of, you know, Shuddhanam. We are in the process of developing Shuddhanam. That is our hope. And with that hope, we chant the holy name. And with utter dependence on Krishna, with utter dependence on Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, because it was by the mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu that we have access to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So whenever we chant, you know, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we must glorify Mahaprabhu. We must take shelter of the Panchatattva. Chanting Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. And who gave us the mercy of Mahaprabhu? It is Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Vargan. So we must seek shelter of Srila Prabhupada and of all of our Guru Vargan, who have very mercifully given us this rare treasure of chanting the holy names of Krishna. So when Krishna sees that we have gratitude towards the people who have given us this very rare gift of Krishna consciousness, that attitude of gratitude is what makes Krishna give his mercy to us. A grateful heart is always the true recipient of Krishna's mercy. So we must develop an attitude of gratitude so that we can attract the mercy of Krishna. That is the only hope that we have. So with this, I will end here. If there's any questions, comments, or reflections, we can take that now. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. ISKCON Vartaman Guru Vrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanavad Pranam. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you so much for telling the three stages of Nama by example of sun and cloud, and also the story of Narada Muni and Rama. It's like how the holy name is so powerful. So nicely narrated everything, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Vinaya. Hare Krishna. I'm just like a parrot mindlessly repeating whatever I've heard. So thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dharmal Pradham. All glory to Srila Prabhupada Guru Maharaj. Very, very beautiful lecture as always. I had a quick question on the verse that you sing before you start your japa. You mentioned about that. So two requests. One request is if you could send that audio, sing that verse separately, sure, along with the meaning of the verse. I would really appreciate that. And also if you could tell us something about the meaning of the verse now, so that we can keep that in mind. Thank you.
This is one of my most favorite verses from the Sri Gopi Gita. And here the gopis are saying, Pranata Dehinam Papa Karshanam, that my dear Lord, we offer respectful obeisances to your divine lotus feet, and your lotus feet are so glorious that they are capable of
Akarshana means to attract. The papa akarshana, that they can attract the sinful reactions of all of our, not just this lifetime, but of millions and millions of births accumulated together. That is the glory of seeking shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, because Krishna's lotus feet can attract all of our sinful reactions. The papa akarshanam, pranata dehinam, papa karshanam, trinacharanugam, shri niketanam. And then the glory of the lotus feet is described by the gopis. The gopis are saying that your lotus feet, which is actually the abode of Shri, of Lakshmi Devi. Lakshmi Devi is supposed to be always residing. She is always engaged in Pada Sevanam, right? We all know that that is her Nitya Seva, that she is always engaged in Pada Sevanam to the Lord. Therefore, her abode, her home, is the lotus feet of the spirit, of Krishna. So Shri Niketanam, Niketanam means abode. So Shri is Lakshmi Devi. So the abode of Lakshmi Devi, you know, Lakshmi Devi, we all know, she is the queen of opulence. She is the queen of Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha is Aishwarya Pradhan, means it is filled with opulence. And Lakshmi Devi, she is always, you know, decorated with so much of opulence. We know that. But that abode of Lakshmi Devi, which is the lotus feet of Krishna, where does that go? Trinacharanugam. Trinachar. Trinachar means the cows and the goats which Krishna used to herd. Trina means grass. Char means jo charte hain. Matlab, you know, the ones who are, you know, eating the grass. So Trinachar means the grass-eating animals. So Krishna would herd the cows and the goats. So Krishna, when he would go into the forest, Krishna would never lead the way. If you see many pictures also, Krishna would either be in the center or he would be in the back. And who would lead the way? The cows would actually lead the way. So now just imagine, it is said that when these grass-eating animals, they would go on the roads, not roads, the walkways of the forest, let's put it that way, the walkways of the forest, they would eat on their way as they would go. They will nibble on the grass. So when they, you know, when you nibble on the grass, the soft grass goes into the mouth of the animals, and what is left behind is the hard, you know, the top part of the grass is very soft. But when the animals eat the top part of the grass, it actually becomes very, very hard. Very, you know, this one I had practical experience of when we were doing Bhajamandal Parikrama in 2016. You know, this Trinacharanuga, we could understand that, and we had practical experience of it, how, you know, when the animals eat the top part of the grass that is left over is extremely hard and it pains the feet like anything. It pokes. It literally becomes very spiky. So it is very, very painful to the feet. So Krishna, his tender lotus feet, which is the abode of Lakshmi Devi, that tender lotus feet, who is it following? It is following these Trinachar. Trinachar Anugam. Anuga means follower. So Krishna, we are all Rupanugas, we are all Prabhupadanugas, but Krishna is Trinacharanuga. That is the glory of Krishna. That Krishna, he is following these cows and the goats. He is following them. And how he is following them, it's a very painful process to follow them. They are eating and nibbling on the grass and Krishna is stepping on those nibbled grass, hard grass. He is following them. And he would never wear shoes. Mother Jashoda, she made beautiful pairs of shoes for Krishna. But Krishna, he said, oh, Mata, very nice shoes. But if I wear shoes, what about my cows? And Nanda Baba had how many cows? 900,000 cows. So Yashoda Mata said that you want shoes for all of the 900,000? So Krishna said, yes. I want shoes for all of them. If you make shoes for all of them, only then I will wear. So it is 900,000 multiplied by 4, not 2. 4-legged animals, right? Cows. So they had to have 4 pairs of shoes, each of them. So Mother Yashoda said, okay, Kanha, you go barefoot only, no problem. So Krishna would be barefooted, never wore shoes in Vrindavan. And he, in that barefoot, the tender lotus feet of Krishna would follow these Trinachara, these animals, the grass-eating animals. Trinachara Anugam, Shri Niketanam. That is the glory of Krishna and his lotus feet. That it is explained here by the gopis that the lotus feet of Krishna is more merciful than Krishna himself. They are actually describing that each of the limbs of Krishna's body, they are independent from each other. Of course, this is also mentioned in, by Lord Brahma himself in Brahma Samhita, Angani, Yasya Sakalendriya Vrittimanti. Similarly, the gopis are also saying that, that Krishna, more merciful than Krishna, is his lotus feet. Look at the lotus feet. They are going all the way without any shoes, without any protection. And Krishna is just following these animals. That's how much he loves the cows. That's how much Krishna is in love with these animals, that he is ready to become their follower. How glorious are the lotus feet of Krishna. So that is the meaning of the second line. Trina Charanugam Shri Niketanam. Then the third line says, Phani Phanar Pitam Te Padam Bujam. That your lotus feet, Pada Ambuja. Pada means feet. And ambuja means lotus. So your lotus feet, you actually, you know, the great sages, great yogis, they are all begging. They are all begging you that Krishna, please give us your lotus feet on our head. They are all sitting in meditation for thousands and thousands of years. And their only destination is to get the lotus feet of Krishna. That's all we are doing sadhana for. To get the lotus feet of Krishna. But that lotus feet is so merciful, that Kaliya did not say, Krishna, you put your lotus feet on my head. In fact, he was fighting with Krishna. But the lotus feet of Krishna is so merciful that you gave Arpita, you offered your lotus feet to Kaliya, Hani. Hani Phanar Pitam, Arpita, you offered, without even Kaliya asking for it, you mercifully offered your lotus feet to the hoods of Kaliya. And you delivered him. So we are begging you, O Krishna, that please, you place that glorious lotus feet upon us. That is the meaning of this particular verse of Sri Gopi Gita. Sri Gopi Gita ki jai.
So, so beautiful, Mataji. So beautiful. It's a wonderful explanation. It couldn't have been better. Yeah, but please don't forget to send in that in the group, the audio. And
sure.
Thank you so much. And I was just remembering this when you were mentioning how the cows nibble the grass, and in the hardened part, Krishna is so merciful. He's following the cows, and even the hard part, when with his baby feet may be hurting, but still he's going on. So I'm just wondering, the same way how the cows also actually reciprocate the love for Krishna when the same pastime, like there are stones. So Yashoda Maya says, you have to wear your shoes and go, and he says, no, I will not wear if my cows will not wear. And then the cows, I think in the night, Mataji, they go, I think, and then they stamp all the stones with their feet and make it smooth and make it like a dust, right? So, I mean, there's so much of love between the two. Reciprocation is so much. So, if only we can get an ounce or a fraction of it too. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanavad Pranam. Thank you so much for the wonderful class. I have a question, Mataji. Like, in the beginning stage of Krishna consciousness, we'll be very eager to chant the holy names, and whatever rounds we'll do, that will be mostly perfect.
But as we go on to the later stages, like some years pass by, we'll just lose some enthusiasm, not that eagerness will be there. So at that time, we'll be struggling to chant perfectly, or some rounds, even some rounds perfectly. So I'm afraid that I may not able to reach the other stages, and I'll be stuck here only, trying to, struggling always. So how can you help anything in this matter?
Very, very nice question. Very nice question. Thank you so much for that. Yes, complacency in spiritual life is a dangerous puddle in Krishna consciousness. You know, complacency is like a puddle. Srila Prabhupada explains that. And he says that that complacency puddle can be avoided. You know, how do we avoid when we are walking in the rainy season? If we see a puddle, what do we do?
We'll just cross over and...
You just cross over. How do you cross over? If it's something very big, how do you cross over?
You jump over.
Yeah.
You hold someone, right? You hold someone who has crossed the puddle, and then holding their hand, you cross it over. It's very easy that way. So complacency puddle can be overcome when we have the association of enthusiastic devotees. So Srila Prabhupada, he always said that our Bhakti Lata Beej is definitely very tender, it's very delicate, and therefore we must protect it by the fence of the association of enthusiastic and like-minded devotees. And when we protect our Bhakti Lata Beej with enthusiastic and like-minded devotees, then our Bhakti Lata Beej will become very, very strong, and using the fence of the association of devotees, our Bhakti Lata Beej will grow very, very nice and strong. And one day it will seek shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. Flowers will blossom. Fruits will come of Krishna Prem. That is guaranteed. But the key is the association of like-minded devotees. And always, you know, being, you know, of course, Trinada Pishanekena, you know, following the third verse of Shikshashtakam, very, very particularly in our life, being very, very obedient to that particular verse, Trinada Pishami Chena, Sarora Pisa Hishnuna, being more humble than a blade of grass, being more tolerant than a tree, offering all respects to others, expecting none in return. And only in this stage we can constantly chant the holy name. So also one other thing that I remember, today I'm remembering a lot of quotes of my Guru Maharaj. Srila Jayapadala Maharaj, he always says, you know, any initiation lecture you always hear, there's one statement he always makes. He says that the day of initiation, the devotees are the most enthusiastic on that day. So how to retain that same enthusiasm? You know, he gives an example that, you know, when we are born or when we have any important day in our life, how do we try to remember them? We actually take pictures of that day, right? And we try to store them, and we try to remember them, and we try to look at those pictures. It's like a Kodak moment in our life. So Srila Guru Maharaj, he mentioned that initiation, the time that we are making that vow to our spiritual master, and we are receiving the beads from him, that moment of our spiritual life is a Kodak moment. So we must try to capture that moment in the deepest, darkest regions of our heart, and try to relive that moment every single day of our life, especially when we start chanting our japa. So if we can start doing that, you know, so that way we can, you know, try to be enthusiastic also. This is another way. So I hope this helps, answers your question.
Yes, Mataji. But the thing is, I'm not initiated. But
that's all right.
Even
if you're not initiated, you can remember the moment that you offered a flower at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah.
You know, you feel enthusiastic at that time. So remember the moment that enthused you in your Krishna consciousness.
Mm.
That's the point. Not just if you're not initiated, not that, you know, it doesn't really matter. Initiation is a formality. But the very fact that you are actually chanting the holy name, Krishna has already accepted you. So you are in the process of initiation. And therefore, when we are, you know, the point of this particular thing is that enthusiastic moments moments that enthuse our Krishna consciousness, we should try to remember those. And those are the times that, you know, when we are down in our Krishna consciousness, the enthusiastic and happy moments in our Krishna consciousness is what enlivens us. Right?
Yes, Mataji. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for your nice and practical question.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions?
Hare Krishna, Kalasudha Mataji. Thank you very much. And this is the same question that I had, and you answered it very nice. Thank you very much for that. Because lately I'm also kind of chanting is not as good as it was before, like that. So that's what I should just, I got the answer from you. Thank you very much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Swamadhiki Mataji, thank you. You are an inspiration to all of us. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Ajji Kala Sudha Mataji, Koti Koti Dandat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Yes, Mataji, we are not qualified to enter in Shidham Vrindavan Dham, and especially in Shishi Gopi Gita, the Virha Bhav of Gopi, but how nicely you explained that every Saturday we are waiting when we are, that we are hearing Shidham Vrindavan Katha and Shishi Gopi Gita. Thank you very much. And thank you very much that Mataji is asking question. Yes, Mataji, same question, that after year and year our quality should be improved, but sometimes, Mataji, our quality is not good. So that, thank you very much for that also. And yes, Mataji, I also hear from Jaipataka Maharaj and Radhanath Maharaj in Gopinath that initiation is a formality. But when you are taking shelter of Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani, and you are start to chant 16 rounds attentively and attending Sunday program and staying with the association in a Bhakti Uksha class or Bhagavad Gita class or basic class. So association of Vaishnava is very important and Japa is very important. Thank you, Mataji. Can you please sing Gopi Gita? Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai.
Definitely, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. Thank you for your beautiful realization. I will definitely honor your request. In the end, if there's any more questions... All right, so if there's no more questions, I'll sing another one of the Gopi Geet, which is to honor the request of Vrinda Gopika Mataji. I think this is verse 8 of Sri Gopi Geet. So here it is. Madhuraya Gira Vargu Vakyaya Buddha Manovraya Pushkarekshana Vidhikari Rima Viramuyati Adharasi dhuna yaya sana. Jai Shri Gopi Gita Ki Jai.
Thank you, Mataji. Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam. Hare Krishna.
Dandavat Pranam. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for a wonderful class, Mataji. It was so instructional. If nobody have any questions, can we end the call here?
Yes, please.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mataji. Let us pay obeisances to all the devotees. Vancha kalpata rupyasya kripa sindhu evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo
namo.
Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Her Grace Kalashada Mataji Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.